BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello, this is Adam.
Hello, this is Garth Jennings.
And Garth is once again filling in for Joe Cornish, who is away. He's on business, so he says.
He's so not.
We've only got his word for that. Probably what he's doing.
He's sitting by some swimming pool, smoking something crazy.
Yeah, like a rolled up newspaper.
Yes.
And he's standing probably on Sunset Boulevard in his pants, is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's filthy.
Touting for business.
Mm.
But
dirty Joe.
So we won't hear from him at all this week. However, next weekend, when he's also away, he's away for the next 3 weeks or something ludicrous.
We'll, how bitter he was when he said that.
Yeah,
he's away for 3 weeks,
and he will be down. He will be down the line. We'll be hooking up with him live in a studio in LA next week, and I think maybe the week after. Which makes me a little perplexed because I was thinking, like, does he get paid for a whole show doing that? Right. I bet he does. And I think that's not fair, especially as he was sort of saying, oh, well, it's going to be about 3 a.m. in Los Angeles if I do that. So maybe I'll just do the first hour of the show and then, you know, go to bed if that's cool with you guys. And everyone's like, yeah, that's cool with us guys. And I said, it's not cool with this guy. It's not cool with the guy who's being paid the same to do the whole proper show and isn't in Los Angeles in his underpants on Sunset Boulevard at 3 a.m. Now, we had a tricky song wars this week. We had to do songs about the credit crunch, and you will find out within this podcast how we got on. Our songs were so weird and wonky that we only played them once. Usually we would play song wars songs twice, but you'll get to hear what we came up with in this podcast. And if you would like to listen again to all the songs and all the music that we played, as well as Garth's jingle that we're not allowed to play for clearance reasons. Garth created a whole new jingle for us, which was very good, based on a little Spandau Ballet riff. Then you can listen to the whole show again on Listen Again or on iPlayer, all that kind of stuff. But right now, let's get underway with some filleted highlights from our Saturday morning show. Enjoy!
This is a podcast from the Big British Castle, featuring portions from the Adam and Joe Show Radiogram. It is brought to you in super sound stereo. So now my voice is coming to you from the left and now the right.
That was James Yule with his song
Y-U-I-double-L. How would you pronounce that?
Yule.
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 You ill?
Maybe you are.
Yeah, exactly. James, you ill?
Nah, I'm all right, thanks.
James probably hates this show.
That's
now
what happens in his life.
Yeah.
James, you ill? No, I'm fine. No, I'm just saying your name. Oh, my name! Sorry!
That's embarrassing. Yes, I'm fine. What? My name?
All that must be funny in his life.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
And I will tell you this week that Garth and I decided we should write a credit crunch song. And it's something that Joe and I were talking about on previous shows. We always toyed with the credit crunch notion as a theme. It's very topical. Don't know if you've noticed.
If you noticed that everything's collapsing.
Yes, people are chatting about it. So we thought we should do a credit crunch song. But then again, we also thought that we should do like a world peace song, you know, when it was all going off with Russia like the other week.
See, I'd have been up for doing a world peace song.
You would think, wouldn't you? You'd think, how hard is it to do a world peace song? Bob Dylan, he tossed them off the whole time. Actually, he didn't write that many straightforward world peace songs, but they felt like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit harder than you might imagine to come out with a blowing in the wind or whatever.
Yeah.
So we were stuffed on that one. We actually tried to write our world peace songs and gave up, phoned each other on Friday evening before the show a few weeks back and said, is it happening over there in the Cornish studio? No.
Do you do it? Do you phone as well, sort of, you know, hedging your bets a bit, sort of going, hey, how's it going with you? Like, it could be going all right with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many choruses and verses and stuff have you got on the world peace song? Yeah, not many. How about you? None.
Yeah.
Should we give up? Yes.
You know, when you phoned last night, I thought that was the call where I was going to get let off the hook. It's like, look, just forget it. We'll play some more records.
Well, it sort of was the call.
It was. Oh, you were doing it to me.
Yeah, I was hoping you might say, I've got nothing. Let's not do it.
Well, I sort of said help. I was sort of saying, this is awful. But also, the thing is that I haven't had a chance to do anything all week because I've been doing my other job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got home last night trying to get it done before...
Your neurosurgery job.
Yeah, exactly. I got people to fix.
Garth is like the embodiment of house.
Yeah, I like, you know, sewing things up, getting it done. and stumbling around and going... Brr.
And he does an American accent as well.
I do an American accent.
What's that? Is that your American accent?
Yeah, how you doing now?
The whole notion of which one is the best is somewhat moot this week. It's more like which one is the least grating.
Yeah, because I think I might win in grating.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my first attempt?
Yeah, go on.
I just bit off way more than I could chew with this, right?
But way more than you could crunch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't even start to crunch this. And so the subsequent thing is totally overblown. It's like a little mini Dickensian opera.
Brilliant.
Based on a musical riff that might be familiar to listeners. It's just nonsensical and it's kind of badly produced, so you can't really hear what's actually being said a lot of the time, and mm-hmm. it's just a mess. So should we hear that one now? It's exciting, isn't it?
We're on the verge of flipping abyss. Except this abyss hasn't got little nice aliens at the bottom. No, waste your time trying to figure out who done the credit crunch. It was a load of greedy bankers having a fiddle over lunch. The main thing now is not to panic, but to get yourself prepared. The apocalypse is coming, but there's no need to be scared. The crunch, the crunch.
Prime Minister Gordon Brown says to frown, it's easy to deal with it.
Just like the loft.
And remember to turn out the lights.
Oh God, the crunch.
It's already crunching down upon your town. It's time to be sensible.
So change your ways.
All of you are going to die. What can we do?
What can we do?
Here's some advice for you.
When you're going to the pictures, don't invest in any treats. Cause the popcorn is expensive, but a bogey's free and just as sweet. And if you can't afford no music, and you don't want to nick it, go back inside your nose again, and you can Wilson pick it.
I've got other suggestions, not a bad snort. Ways to save and have a lot of fun with yourself.
And then I gave up.
I think that's terrific.
I was going to have more advice about how to economise and stuff, but I couldn't stop thinking about the fact, like...
You couldn't stop thinking about picking your nose.
Yeah.
The Wilson Pickett bit worked great.
You reckon?
Yeah, that's good work.
That was the bit where I knew I was defeated, actually.
I think you just...
Wilson Pickett as well. God, I've got to give up now.
Oh, mine's just worse.
All right, man. Well, listen. Should we have a listen to yours now?
I've got one. I haven't got a backup here.
Well, this is now. Now we're in the official competition. So you're discounting that last thing, listeners, and this is what we are actually competing against each other with.
Yeah, focus now.
So do you want to introduce yours now?
All right, mine's called My Credit Crunchy Song, and I think I should just play it and get it over with.
All right.
Let's do it.
If this song was a bank, it would fold, to be frank. And this tune was a man, he would sleep in a van. Was a nest.
Oh, he's gone for the fade.
It's awful. You know that? Do you remember when you were at school and you were asked to stand up in front of the class and speak?
Uh-huh.
You know that kind of embarrassment that's so shocking that you feel like you've gone solid? Like if you were, you're like a solid brick of red.
Yeah.
That was me for the last 2 minutes.
That was good, man. I enjoyed that.
You know what?
Bless music, you. That was musically superior. You sidestepped the whole actually writing a thing about the credit crunch.
I didn't know what to write about.
Basically, you just, all your lyrics were like, this is a song about the credit
crunch. Without... This is a rubbish song, and it's, if it was about the credit crunch, it would be like this. I couldn't think of anything.
You shirked the.
I tried to creatively bend the brief.
Well, I think that's fair enough.
Lord have mercy.
You know what you should do is retool that song and write some actual proper lyrics that aren't about the credit crunch for it, because that's a nice song.
Okay.
I would enjoy that. That's as good as Hot Chip.
Hot Chip?
That's even better than a lot of their stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I do. So that was Garth's credit crunch song there. What are you calling it?
My credit crunchy song.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So in the end, after I'd given up on my little mini opera there, I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to do something that I've been thinking about doing a lot in sometimes when I run out of ideas for Song Wars and I'm up against the deadline. I think, ooh, okay, it's time for this tack. And that is to do an homage to Radiohead's Fitter, Happier.
Oh, you clever sausage.
You know that track?
You've won the war.
It's the, well, no, not necessarily, because it's not, it's not in any way a song, but... It, you know, but yeah, it is kind of a song, because that was it like, it was almost the centerpiece of OK Computer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a way, and it had the Stephen Hawking computer voice on there talking about alienation and modern
a pig
angst and
stuck on a poo.
Exactly.
It says that, but I just, well, anyway.
It's not stuck on a poo, I don't think.
Something like that.
Tied to a stick
that's driven into frozen poo, yeah. I'm sure he says. Anyway.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the kind of thing I went for, and here it is.
Credit crunch is a term used to describe a sudden reduction in the general availability of loans, or credit, or a sudden increase in the cost of obtaining loans from the banks. There are a number of reasons why banks may suddenly increase the costs of borrowing or make borrowing more difficult. This may be due to an anticipated decline in value of the collateral used by the banks, or it could be something to do with Al Gore. In fact, yes, I'm almost certain it's Al Gore's fault. And Noel Edmonds is probably mixed up in it somewhere too, with his Princess Diana hair and his stupid boxes. He's waiting until the world is on its knees, and then he's going to bring back Mr. Blobby. And it wouldn't surprise me if Ant and Dec are in league with the banks too. They've got their fingers in everybody's pies. Saturday night isn't the only thing they want to take away. They're good on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, though. Mind you, with the crunch, they're probably going to have to scale I'm a Celebrity down a bit, and just have the cheeky girls and the Chuckle Brothers in the park in Hackney.
Absolute rubbish. You can't even hear what he's saying as well. That's the thing.
Yes, you can. It's a winner. Talking.
The other weekend, we went to a fun park with my children. It was called the Dino Park, and it's kind of dino-themed. It's a fun place, and I'll tell you more about
it. Surely you can't go wrong with dinosaurs.
No, well, exactly. It's genius. And I think it's one of those situations where maybe there's a stately home or whatever, or a large piece of land or with farmland attached, and maybe they've fallen on hard times, or because of financial pressures, they've had to make it, commercially
put dinosaurs in it.
Viable. Yeah. Exactly.
We're losing money. Get some dinosaurs. That's again how they speak on those properties.
That's
get,
right.
Get some dinosaurs.
Get some dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's what's to Richard Attenborough. That's how he should have spoken in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Where are my grandchildren gone?
In a way, he almost does, though. Sometimes he's Scottish, sometimes he doesn't bother.
He does. He forgets when he's eating the ice cream and the shadows are on the wall.
Right.
He goes straight back to Dickie.
He's not bothered
at all. He goes all back to that. And then the next he goes, all right, let's go.
Look at the dinosaur. Let's get some dinosaurs. Harry.
It really is. If you're ever watching that film, watch when he's eating the ice cream. It's like Spielberg just wasn't even there that day.
He was captivated
He was going, Dickie.
Dickie's, I'm under Dickie's spell. Oh, Stevie, I forgot to do the accent thing. That doesn't matter.
That was Scottish, right, Dickie? Yes, yes, Stevie, that was Scottish, yes.
Yeah, that's a good accent for Spielberg as well.
Why like that?
But this is by the way of all that. We were at the wishing well, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my eldest son was throwing in a coin there, and I had a few euros that I gave him to
you cheapskate. Wait a minute. Whoa, no, not that coin.
No, not that one. That's silver. You can have this. No, this one's silver as well, and it's quite big. You can have a couple of euros.
And so he stuck that in the wishing well. But then he insisted on telling me what he wished for. And I said, you're not supposed to tell what you wish for, because then apparently it invalidates the wish. That's something in the small print of the wishing contract. But he refused to keep the wishes to himself. And he told me that what his wishes were. Have you heard about your children's wishes yet, Garth?
No.
You never heard any of their wishes?
Well, it's normally just stuff they've just that second seen on the telly.
Right, exactly. Well, my son is six, the one I'm talking about, Frank, and I'd never heard any of his wishes before. And I suppose you always hope that maybe your children will wish for kind of wonderful spiritual things. That
or at least wooden toys.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I wish, Daddy, for one of those wooden bikes without pedals.
Yes.
That I simply push along with my feet and helps me to be a much better bicycle rider, faster than all the other children in the playground. Could I please have one of those, Daddy? Please, Daddy?
No, that's not what Frank wished for. He said, Daddy, I wished for a DS, superpowers, no school, and real guns.
Oh, wow. Did he really?
That's what he wants. And, you know, he's someone that I try to...
Real guns.
Real guns. And, you know, we don't buy them, like, all violent toys and stuff. In fact, I'm quite poncy about the whole thing of trying to keep guns out of the house, you know?
Yes.
He loves the guns. It's just innate, I think.
They always do.
And he's not like a little roughy tufty in other ways. But there's something about little boys. It's hardwired into them. They absolutely adore guns.
Yeah, well, they'll do it. They'll just point their finger at you and shoot you with that if they haven't got a plastic gun.
Right.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's what Guy Ritchie's built his entire career on, presumably, is knowing that piece of information.
Well, he's a rock and roller, isn't he?
A rock and roller.
Yeah, a little groovy break. Now back to work.
Garth was talking about a mutual friend of ours, Joby.
Joby's son Morris is always coming out with great quotes.
Well, Morris is he's the kind of child that actually you would want to have.
He's perfect.
You know,
he's
very happy with my children, but Morris is, he's one of those kids, you look at him and you think, oh, that's the one. That's the one I want. Because he's like musically very prodigious, isn't he?
And let's just hope our children aren't listening to the show right now.
Yeah.
Basically, you're not quite as good as Morris. You know when your mum and dad would say, why can't you be more like your cousins? Yeah. It's like we should say, why couldn't you be more like Morris? Oh, it's such a shame. No, you're fine. It's just Morris is he's just a bit better, isn't he?
You know, he can play the guitar. And
yeah, he's showing signs of real intelligence.
He asks a lot of very interesting questions. A lot of the time, and you know, the only thing you ask is when SpongeBob's going to start. And
yeah.
If there's any way you could be more like Morris, that would be ideal.
Morris was saying to Joby the other day something had provoked this, some tragedy or something, I assume. But Morris said, "Oh, Dad, what is heaven like?" And so Joby thought, "Oh no." Morris, just imagine the most beautiful place you can possibly imagine. And Morris did. He sat there and he thought about it. And he said, Daddy, the most amazing place I can possibly imagine is McDonald's.
Now, where did Joby go with that?
That's
pretty much exactly what it's like.
That's it. You got it, kid.
Yeah, it's like that, but everything's free.
Yeah, it's free. You can keep going.
You get free fries with everything. And you can upgrade at no extra cost. It's extraordinary.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
What is the lamest theme park you've ever been to? And if you haven't been to one, then what's your idea for an incredibly lame theme park?
Yeah, I think they're the best ideas.
You know what I mean? If you can think, because it's a useful way of going. If you want to make some money out of your little plot of land there, all you have to do is think of some pretty lame idea.
Dare you enter Scrapyard.
That's
dare
right.
You mind out for the crusher
Binland.
Binland.
What will you find in the bins? And it's all like the staff all dressed
Don't touch that bin!
The staff all dressed as tramps.
Yeah.
And wondering, welcome to Binland.
Because I went to Wookiee Hole once.
Right.
By accident, I got trapped in a rainstorm and I just happened to be near Wookiee Hole. So we went in for cover. And it was a classic British thing where you go in. It's brilliant, Wookiee Hole. If you're planning on going, you must. But there's a funny thing in there where they go, this bit is said to be haunted. And some say a witch once came down here and never came out. In fact, if you listen carefully, you can hear her. And they'd project this picture of a witch, and it was really bad. And it would sort of like go across the cave, and you'd hear this recording go. And the tour guy kind of looked at us with eyes that said, yeah, I know, I'm sorry. Let's just keep going.
Just talking.
Here's an email from Stu W. He says, hi there, Adam and Garth. In my hometown, we have a Diggerland theme park. Presumably it's the Diggerland theme park, I don't know. But in which you can drive mini diggers. Brackets, it's restricted to less than walking pace in speed. Quite right, of course. And you can operate the digging arms on the bigger stationary JCB machines. Yeah, this is the one that I was looking at. But it always seemed a bit... One of the reasons we didn't go to Diggerland was that you just think the idea for a child that they might be going to a theme park where they can actually see these diggers and drive them would be amazing. But of course, once you get there, there's no question of them actually driving a real massive digger.
Not a massive one, but a little one. I think they'd be all right once they got there.
You reckon they actually...
Yeah,
it says they can drive mini diggers, but surely they can't drive them themselves. Like a three-year-old is not going to be allowed to just jump in there and have
Maybe
a go with
the mini
digger.
Maybe that's the fun of it. It's a little bit edgy down there.
It's a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, it would be good to go to a foreign country and have one that's deregulated. You know what I mean?
Really good one.
You could
go on, have a go. Take it away.
Yeah. Drive the wrecking ball. He's only three. Is that okay?
That's fine. He can have some fun there with the wrecking ball. He's three? That's okay.
He doesn't even come up to my knee.
That's not a problem with the wrecking ball. Just has to push one button.
Here's a very short one. Chris in Durham, straight to the point. He says, a real one, Keswick Pencil Museum.
Yeah.
Fantasy one, World of Pockets. I can see World of Pockets. Can't you?
Yeah.
And you just have like the centerpiece of World of Pockets is like a giant torso, you know, headless torso. It's just the middle section. It's like from the tummy downwards to the knees, maybe a massive thing. And it's got just a big pair of jeans on there, and you can climb up like a kind of climbing rope thing and jump into the pocket and slide down through the pockets. Maybe one of the pockets has a hole in it.
That's what you want. And lots of fluff at the bottom.
Exactly. Fluff and giant coins and ticket stubs and things like that. And then you could have, like in the back pockets, maybe it would be a bit racier. I don't know. Use your imagination. Here is a message from DC Mike in Bearwood. And it says, how about an X Factor themed park? There could be a roller coaster where the riders head up to the dizzy heights of fame and then suddenly crash down, never to be seen again. I think that would be quite good. Teach you a little bit about the crazy world of fame.
Or maybe you just have to go in, and when you buy your ticket, there's a judge there saying, no, you can't come in.
Yeah.
No, you're quite good. You're cute. Come in.
Yeah, just a big fame theme park would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Teach you all about the vicissitudes of the world of fame, if that's the right word. And it would be very cruel. Like, it would start out being fun. The first part of the park would be fun.
Yeah.
Everyone would be having a good time. There'd be lots of champagne and parties and dancing. And then after the roller coaster, you go on the big roller coaster and then you're plunged down into a subterranean world.
Yep.
Where you have to remain for years and years and years unless you can find the way through the comeback tunnel. But otherwise, you're...
The comeback maze.
Yeah. The comeback maze.
Yeah.
And you're just
Which
down
is lined
there.
With really scary people.
Yeah, Peter Andre.
Peter.
No, he's... Yeah.
He's not scary.
He's the king of the
He'll
comeback
help you mode. Out, actually. He's if you nice find one. Peter Andre, he could be like the lucky charm.
That's right.
He could get you out.
So it wouldn't actually be a real Peter Andre, but it would be like youths hired by the park with sort of plastic six-packs strapped to their chests.
Yeah.
And they would help you out.
Come with us.
But otherwise, if you get trapped down there in the subterranean part of the park, you're just subject to humiliations. And there's people dressed like Amy Winehouse wandering around offering you things.
Yeah.
It's no good.
You know that pencil museum you were talking about earlier?
Keswick.
Yeah. Dave Donaghy says, don't mock the pencil museum. My friend Spadge and I went there last year and got free entry and a free pencil because it was the museum's birthday. It may have been been the best day out I've ever had.
Spadge. That's no way a real friend.
Well, that's what he says here. He's even spelt it with a capital S, so he really means it.
That's his imaginary friend. Come on, Spadge. We're off to the pencil museum.
Just one ticket, then? No, I want one from my friend Spadge too.
Yeah, your friend. Okay.
Yeah.
Mum, me and Spadge are off to the pencil museum again. Okay, darling. Try and be back in time for tea. Don't forget you've got your job tomorrow. You are 25 years old. Okay, don't worry. Spadge will remind me. Bye, Mum. Come on, Spadge. Off to the pencil museum again today. One pencil for me and one pencil for Spadge. There you go, Spadge. You've dropped it again, Spadge!
Why? Can't you hold your pencil, Spadge?
That's how it would go. It would be bittersweet.
Sorry, Dave Donaghy, for mocking your real friend's badge.
He's not real.
He's not real.
He's clearly not real. Yeah.
Come on, Spadge! Pencil Museum again today!
My God.
You know that thing of when you're a bloke and you're walking home at night sometimes and there's happens to be a woman walking on her own the other side, you feel very conscious of...
You don't want to freak her out.
You don't want to freak her out because, you know, you were just going home and it just and you think, and whatever you do freaks her out because you speed up to get past her, that's horrible, all that. So I've noticed that in the queues when you're doing your chip and pin and you sort of do that thing, you're pressing your button, you notice people sort of do their, I'm just going to look around the shop for you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look over there. I'm going to look anywhere but at your pin.
Advertise the fact that you are not a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try and do
that. It's all right. I'm not trying to look over your shoulder.
Right. I'm walking along the street sometimes. I'm just going, I'm going to get you. And people like scatter. What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know? And that's just the way, like, when I'm walking, that's the way that my breath comes out.
I'm going to get you.
When I run. But, you know, the women, they don't like it.
I want to see you do that.
They don't like it for some reason.
Podcast. That is all there is of the podcast. It is all over.
So there you go, Garth. Some delicious, tasty morsels there. From
it's nice to try them again, actually.
Saturday morning show. Yeah, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I mean, this is a piece of fiction here because we're standing here recording these links just after we finish the show. We haven't listened to the filleted highlights again because they haven't been compiled
yet. But I went on to...
So what are you doing lying about
it? Well, I figured I went on... I did an interview on a radio station the other day and the guy who was interviewing me came in after the record and said, we were just singing along with that, weren't we, Garth? And he went straight into the interview and we weren't singing along at all.
No.
Yeah, he said, well, you can't stop singing to that song. Anyway, here we are back with Garth Jennings. I thought, hang on. I wasn't singing along with that at all. I thought, so I'm getting into the spirit of radio DJ lying.
That you're not allowed to do that. What station was that?
Tell you that.
We were just singing along and he wasn't even singing along.
You can't stop singing along to that song. We were all singing along in the studio, right, Garth? Anyway, here
Formal
it is.
Formal warning for that one.
Yeah, it's true. That's what happened.
Now, if he tried that kind of thing within the portals of the castle, a huge spike would suddenly rip out from the floor and go right through either the bottom of his foot or just right into his groin and out through the top of his head. And what's more, he would deserve it for that kind of lying. We were just singing along and he weren't even singing along. I would never say anything like that. Mm. You know, that's a disgrace.
So I'm sorry. I was just, you know, I just thought that's the way you did things on radio.
No, it's not. Formal warning! You do that kind of thing next week and you'll get the spike, young man. So take care, folks. Have an enjoyable week. And we'll be with you again from 9 till 12 on Saturday morning here on BBC Six Music.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Try Tom Robinson introducing with all the best new music fresh off the net.
Download for free at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.